Hallelujah. Let us pray. We pray for hard people. I myself am an odd man, but I mean for those who did not yet accept the grace of Christ, and also for the youngster, for each one of them to enter in Christ's grace that will touch our hearts. You know, I was thinking about the word written in John chapter 1. I will spend a little moment here in John chapter 1 when the Lord Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree. And when Nathanael came to him, Jesus told him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And then Nathanael said unto him, "Hence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Brother Branham referred to this scripture many times, also about the Samaritan woman. But why am I saying this? Because then, after Nathanael say, "I see thou art the King of Israel, the Son of God," something did happen there. And that's why I took this scripture. People who we bear or bring in our heart, we want them to have the same experience as Nathanael, for them to come to faith. We want them to come to the grace of God and to be part of the body of Christ in the sheepfold. It is also true that Nathanael recognized who Jesus was, because something took place between them. We have to pray God and to help us and to let the supernatural things to take place in the midst of the church. Let us pray. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ to you, and we are in thy presence. We believe also that you are in our midst, and we believe also to your promises. You are leading us unto revelation more and more, showing us the plan which you has plan for each one of us. And you can also see desires in our heart. Let something happen from your part, not just in this small church, but in the assembly or the church of the living God in all the worldwide. Let people approach to you and to believe that you are the same God. And let them see you through your children and your redeemed. for them also to realize that you are here. Grant us grace to enter fully in your word. Let us once more tonight touch your garment. You know our desire. And help us to be like you. And grant us grace during the reading of your word. The reading of the circular letters. Purify us and make us ready to receive what you have prepared for your church. And for us to wait for the former and latter rain, and also for your spirit to move and to bless the work of your hand which you have prepared before the foundation of the world. To you belong honor, praises, adoration, and thanksgivings. Whole hearts here believe to your word, and also all those who will listen, they believe to your word. Let your blessing be tonight in a special way for it to touch the hearts. To you belong honor and praises. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Lord. Grant us the necessary faith and strength to see the work of the Spirit. We continue to read from page 61 in Italian, the compilation of the circular letter of Brother Frank. This is a circular letter of number 33, January 1987. Only when brothers and sisters realize that the devil has deceived them in a very refined way by means of biblical passages and quotation can they be freed from his seduction and be torn from his sphere of influence. On the one hand, they know that they are the fruits of this ministry established by God because they have accepted the word with joy. On the other hand, they are shown the image of an unscrupulous criminal. One cannot imagine the confusion into which men can be thrown in this way. They know that they are dealing with a charge of divine origin, yet they allow themselves to be so influenced that they avoid a person and have no communion with him. There is no doubt that it is Satan alone who produces such a situation. It is he who entered into Judas with the intention of ruining the divine plan. That is what he tried to do here. Brother Franco, you know what it took place in the church of Krefeld, and this, what we read now, is a result. And as also we said last time, once the devil is unveiled or unmasked, he loses his strength upon people. We also said last time, once we unmasked him, we can become the hunters. Those who unmasked the plan of the devil or the thoughts of the enemy, they become then hunters. May God help the church. Because what we read still takes place in the midst of the church or families. There is a plan of the devil, and his plan is that to oppose to the word. But God wants to give strength to his people. Here we should enter in the thoughts of God. We can read it in the book of Proverbs. And we know also the story of the king of Syria and Elisha. And that same spirit, I believe, is still in the midst of the church. May God help us to touch his garment. In order to have the right vision and the right interpretation and also the right word. Hallelujah. It is not the brethren here who for more than 25 years have been preaching the word, who have lied and deceived God's people, but rather those who accuse them of doing so. Do you see? There has been nothing wrong with the proclamation of the word, and that is also why there is nothing that needs to be corrected. The roles have been reversed, and the real culprits are blaming it on others. This is the twin story, as said it on Sunday. Why do I say twins? If we take Cain and Abel, they were twins. They did not have a good relationship. We can't say it was like they both were accusing one another. We can see also with Jacob and Esau. We can see also with if they don't need to be twins in the blood, but we see the actions or in spirit. Also, if we take, for example, faith and unbelief, they are twins. How can we know if someone is saying the truth of God? May God help us. I continue to read the circular letter. Also, the brother who came from outside follow what the seduced and so-called spiritual sister ordered them to do. Last time we stop here. Let me read it one more time. Also, the brother who came from outside follow what the seduced and so-called spiritual sister ordered them to do. Satan wanted to make the brother serving the message unbelievable and destroy the influence of their preaching. This is clear. They have experienced this thing, and still today we experience it. The curse of the forbidden is now broken through this unveiling. When the veil is removed and when we receive the direct revelation of God in the truth, automatically, the devil cannot do anything. It's finished. And then we win the battle. We bruise the head of the serpent, as is written. He bite us, but we bruise his head, and we win. Then everyone can go free in the name of the Lord. Circular letter 39, January 1993. Question and answer. I am constantly asked to give a biblical answer concerning marriage, adultery, and divorce. Why these questions? Why is there any lack of clarity? It is not clear enough in the Bible. Then Brother Branham dealt with this topic in detail at the direct command of the Lord. Why is it, however, that many lack clarity? Hasn't the Lord yet opened up the understanding of this subject, and has he still not given a revelation? Brother Franco, it seems like we eat the word, then we forget it. Or we receive a revelation, then we forget it. Properly speaking, the whole subject of the Old and New Testament has been truly treated and enlightened in on all sides. Could it be that many constantly want to have new clarification on this important topic, do not in fact want an answer that is really based on the Bible, but defend their preconceived opinion as expect their traditional view to be confirmed? When we do not accept the word of God and we do not submit ourselves to the authority of the word, automatically another spirit come upon you and you take another position. That's what Brother Frank is explaining here. This is a reality. We continue to read. On the subject of marriage, adultery, and divorce, I have decided to make known the neutral position of Fritz Reichener's Lexicon of the Bible, published by Brockhaus Verlag. Here, Brother Frank quotes a book, Lexicon of the Bible. A man may not break his own marriage. Adultery refers only to the intimate relations of the married or engaged woman with another man. Exodus 20:17, Leviticus 20:20. We have already read all these things. If such adultery is discovered, both the man and the woman are to die by stoning. Deuteronomy 22:22. If the woman involved in this act was not free by a slave, the man was only to offer a sacrifice for the offense. Leviticus 19, from 20 to 22. If a man has intimate relation with a young girl who is not married or engaged, he must take her as a wife and pay her dowry, even if he is already married, and he shall never be allowed to send her away. Leviticus 22:16. He does not have any right to send her away. Deuteronomy 22:28. The stoning of a betrothed girl is only applicable when the seduction has taken place in the city where she could have called for help. Deuteronomy 22:24-25. I believe that these words are clear. It is the word of God. These severe prescriptions were intended to prevent marriages from breaking up. God gave all the laws expressly for this reason, to prevent the breaking up of marriages. So the letter of divorce, it was not the perfect will of God. That was a permissive will, because God gave this, he gave them this consentment through Moses because of the hardness of their heart. And we can see as the human being has to be purified, his whole nature has to be removed for the new nature to be there. Because in us there is adultery and all wicked things. That's why the new nature must overcome. We read once more. These several prescriptions were intended to prevent marriage from breaking up. Passages like Proverbs 2, verse 16, 19, 6, 24, 35, 7, 5, 27 shows us how widespread adultery was. You can read all the scripture then home. Finally, divorce is also an exclusive privilege of a man. Why is it a privilege? Because a woman cannot divorce. Only a man can say, "I divorce." Normally speaking, a woman should not say it. But today, in this age where everything is going contrary to the word of God, so a woman is able to say, "I divorce." We continue to read. According to Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, he has the right to send his wife away if he has found anything unclean in her. This prescription is open to too many interpretations. Originally, it was only valid for immoral relations. But in Jesus' time, the doctors of the law were ready to grant the man the right to send his wife away. For a minor displeasure, he had to give her a letter of divorce. Compare Isaiah 50, verse 1. May God grant us grace. Also, for those who are listening, may they find grace before God. A woman is represent a church. That's why there are many restrictions for a church or a wife, because it's a type. Also, Israel was a type of a woman. That's why it is important to read this verse in Isaiah 50, verse 1. Here God addressed these words to Israel. Thus said the Lord, "Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquity have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgression is your mother put away." Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? We can spend time preaching about these verses. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Hallelujah. Is my hand short to remove iniquity or to clean everything? Is it shortened? Continue to read. He had to give her a letter of divorcement on the basis of which she could return to her parents' house, Leviticus 22 and 13, and remarry. He has to give her a letter of divorce on the basis of which she could return to her parents' house and remarry. Let us read in Deuteronomy 22. Verse 15. Then shall the father of damsel and her mother take and bring forth the token of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gates. We read also 14. We read before that divorce is an exclusive privilege of the man. By God, hates divorce. I read verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give an occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. So then verse 15, as we read before, in this case, they have to bring a proof of his virginity. We continue to read the circular letter. At least, she was not to become the wife of the first husband again, presumably to prevent arbitrariness even after the death of the second husband, or after she had been sent away again. Deuteronomy 24, verse 4. Unfortunately, it's not always the case that a woman reconciles herself with her husband. In addition to the case of an unmarried girl who has been seduced and whom the man does not have the right to send away, he also loses this right to divorce when, after the consummation of the marriage, the woman is falsely accused of not having been a virgin. Deuteronomy 22:13-19. The prophet had not only condemned the light application of repudiation, compare Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, but Ed generally opposed it and argued that monogamy was the only possible moral form. Compare Hosea chapter 2 verse 16, Isaiah 54:5. We do believe that the Lord has granted us grace. Because we should not mix. When Hagar, for example, taught Abraham to take Hagar as wife, or Jacob is to marry this his own relatives. Oh no, he has to marry both sisters because the father-in-law cheat on him, and then he has to work 7 more years. Malachi 2 verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord had been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion, the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Here, when it speaks about godly seed, refers to Abraham. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of thy youth. Verse 16, for the Lord God of Israel said that he hated putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment. Say the Lord of hosts, therefore take ye to your spirit, there that ye deal not treacherously. We continue with the secular letter. Does the Lord in the New Testament rejects divorce when he states that it was only because of the hardness of their hearts that it was permitted? Matthew 19:3-13, Mark 10:2-12. It is here that it first mentioned that a man can break his own marriage in verse 11, and that the lustful look at another woman is stigmatized as adultery. Matthew chapter 5 verse 28. If someone has in his heart to put away his wife, is already under judgment. We read it again. It is here that it is first mentioned that a man can break his own marriage, verse 11, and that the lustful look at another woman is stigmatized as adultery, Matthew 5:28. You all remember when they brought the adulterous woman to Jesus. Jesus clearly states that sending the woman away exposes her to commit adultery and leads her to break up of the marriage. Verse 32, only one exception is made, except for fornication. Matthew 19:9. On this occasion, he, God, uses a very strong word which means more than infidelity or adultery. That's why God does not forgive. I speak about believer in the church. God does not permit and forgive a believer who goes or who leaves the church. He leaves the bride or leave the church. The Lord does not forgive. Thus, because when you leave the church, you forsake your husband. That's why it is written here. On this occasion, he uses a very strong word, which means more than infidelity and adultery. Jesus recognizes forgiveness and reconciliation for adulterers. John 8, verse 2-11, compare Deuteronomy 22-26. May God help us to understand the right position of the man and also of the woman. The more we go forth, the more we enter deep in the revelation. It should not discourage us, but it should open our heart to the divine reality. And then we thank the Lord and praise Him, because He puts in light everything for us to be perfect in Christ. Hallelujah. Now we will read the circular letter 41, January 1994. It's just a part. At the moment, the Church of Christ is not yet one heart and one soul. Be careful. The Church of Christ is not yet one heart and one soul. The body of the Lord is so torn apart as never before. Brother Branham say in a sermon, "The sickest body I know is the body of the Lord." He was referring to the words of Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? For why was not a bandage applied to the daughter of my people? What would Brother Branham say today? Those who claim to be his followers are in the worse state than all the others. Never in the history of the church has such chaos occurred following a revival. Be careful here. These words are deep. Why does Brother Frank says these things? Let us go in our Bible and take Jeremiah 8:22. The Lord say this thing because today, because if the two person they are well disposed, reconciliation can take place between them. But if one of them is not willing to be reconciled, reconciliation cannot take place. That's what took place with Brother Frank. He wanted to be reconciled. He wanted reconciliation with her wife, but she did not agree. So if both sides are not agreeing, the bomb cannot work. But if they agreed, the bomb will work. And this word we read in Jeremiah 8:22. We can use it for all situations. With situation which takes place in the church. We are reading Jeremiah 8:22. Here there was an apostasy of Israel. And verse 22 is written, "He there's no balm in Gilead, is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the doctor of my people recovered? You see, how we told you after a revival, there is always a repercussion of the devil because he does not want to leave people of God free. Also, in this moment, even if this virus is there, God continues to speak to his people. Beyond all troubles which we have during this time, God is still speaking. And in the midst of people of God, there is a blessing. Because now God shows us how many things we have lost in the past years. We can't see them now, and we realize we read also in Jeremiah 46:12. Go up in Gilead. Go up into Gilead and take Baal, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shall thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. Here in my translation, it states differently. I take another translation, Jeremiah 46:11. Go up into Gilead and take balm of O virgin, daughter of Egypt. In vain shall thou use many medicines, so, and in an Italian version it's not written medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. The nation have heard of thy shame. Because if we do not go in the roots of the problem, everything we will do shall be in vain. Just look a little bit what takes place now with this virus. Everything they're trying to do is not touching the main point. That's why there's still confusion. Also, when a problem happened between us, instead of going to the source or to the roots, you try to justify yourself, putting your own bombs, but that cannot help, and it cannot solve the problem. In vain shall thou use many medicines, today denominations, all those who did not accept baptism of John, they made the plan of God without effect for them, the counsel of God. Those who did not recognize the messenger of the end time, Marion Branham, or those who did not recognize Matthew 24:40, 45, 47. They will try just to put their own bomb taking their own medicines, but it won't work because they made without effect the counsel of God for them. In verse 12 says, the nation have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land, for the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. There was no remedy here, because they did not accept what God gave them. They both fell. Here it was about Egypt and Babylon. The mighty, and they are fallen both together. Today, this bomb still exists. I do speak in the name of the Lord. May God help us to recognize that only in Christ there is the right word of healing and healing. Only the anointed word revealed in the right time can produce healing and remove all wickedness. That's why if we do not speak, or if the devil is not unmasked, nothing can happen. Because first we have to unmask him, and then we can use the bomb. May God help us. We continue with the circular error. Those who claim to be his follower are in a worse state than all the others. Never in the history of the church has such chaos occurred following the revival. Because of this situation, which seems hopeless from the human point of view, those who have proclaimed themselves to be servants of God, who claim to follow the prophet and his word, find themselves without even having receiving a divine call to preach the word of God. Do you see? They themselves have sown the seed of discord and caused the separation. Do you remember the vision which Brother Branham had before to travel? The Lord stopped him and he asked him to store food. Then he went back to store food. And he had a vision and in this vision he could see a cupboard with many drawers. Brother Frank also had the same vision and he could explain it. There were brothers coming, opening drawers and taking food. And we all know what was the cupboard. For example, in Sicily, my generation, so elder people, they know these kind of cupboards. We used to go there. There were many kind of food. So you open drawers, you take food. And in that vision, Breeden were opening, taking food and walking up on food. It was a confusion. Let us see Matthew 13. After a revival, the enemy comes always. It should not come, but it is always there. He is always there. Matthew 13:35. So 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among heat and went in his way. In Matthew 5 is written that the rain comes upon just and unjust, or the sun. So after the revival, also the devil passed to sow in the seed of discord. The same thing happened in Krefeld. Your brother Frank will say that those who call themselves, they have sown the seed of discord, and they have caused separation. That still takes place today in Germany, in France, in Sicily, or it took place everywhere. So in all places where the word has created or have brought revival, where God did something and his spirit was there using people, so then the devil came to cause separation. So now brother is talking about past. But now it is a matter of distributing the spiritual food that has been set aside and publishing the whole counsel of God. The table of the Lord must be prepared in the right way before us. Here, Matthew 24:45-47. People who God have chosen, they spread out the same, or they give out the same food without any kind of opposition. As we read, the table of the Lord must be prepared in the right way before us, as was expressed in the introductory word. The servant required to fight for the true faith and the knowledge of the truth are those who prove to be as elect, filled with holy piety or devotion in Italian. Why, Brother Franco? Because the one who enters, so the servant who are there, if we talk about Matthew 24, why were there so many trouble? In Matthew 24 is about people of the house. They are bound together. They are all anointed and devoted to the service. So the church of Jesus Christ, the bride, the elect of God, they are consecrated. We know that our brethren, they love the Lord, they were redeemed, but still there is not the full devotion from their part, because I cannot live separated from my house. I must be in my house. And everything that is in my house is mine. And everything that is in the body of Christ is ours. We are all together. There is no difference. It's the house of God and is our house. So we should be embedded. We all work for the house of God. And you should take these things spiritually, in a spiritual way. And it's not difficult to understand. It's true that you say, I go to church. Certain things we do independently from the church, that is also true. But if there is a spiritual separation, yeah, we can say yes with the spiritual, with the physical separation, it's okay. But when it's about the spiritual one, there is a problem there. I don't know how to explain it with the right words. Let us go in Chronicle. Because many times we depart from the church. And we separate the church from our own household. And if for you that is right, it's not what Brother Frank is saying here. Let us read in First Chronicle. Here David, the king, is speaking, a servant of God. An example, a symbol, a man of God who God chose. Chronicle 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God had chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the God, for things to be made of God, and silver for things of silver, etc. Then verse 3 says, Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I given to the house of my God. Here we can see David being part of what was taking place. What I meant is that we need devotion and consecration. In the Catholic Church, you have to make like a devotion or a vow if you want to devote yourself to Mary or Father Pio. So here we have to enter fully into what God has planned for me, to be part of the divine nature of what God has prepared for me. We can go in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. That's why we had many problems and they were not inspired by God. Deuteronomy 7, we start from verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon face of the earth. God has not given his affection to you or me because we had something special. May God help us to understand the word affection. In Italian Bible, it's written affection. And in verse 7, it is written, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, it was not because of me or my brother, but God took me and made me part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I would like to use precise word, but unfortunately I just have these words. We cannot go or depart from what God gave us because we are part of what he's doing and part of him. Everything which take place in the church touches each one of us. If something happens to a brother, happens also to me, because we are part of one body. Then in verse 8 is written, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had shown unto your father, had the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It is wonderful. If we are devoted or if we are pious before God, it's because he chose us and then he said love upon us. We could read also Deuteronomy 10:15. Verse, only the Lord had a delight in thy father to love them, and he chose the seed after them, even you above all people, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth no persons, nor taketh reward or corruption. Verse 18, he doth execute the judgment of fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger and in giving him food and raiment. Hallelujah. May God bless our heart. Let us go in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 25. Well, we can start from 24. For our comely part had no need, but God has tempered the body, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Hallelujah. It's all about devotion, affection, love. Because if he did not love us first, we could not have loved him. He found my name before I was born, before even to come out of the womb of my mother. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your soul unto affectionate love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible sin, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth forever. Is God who gives us devotion or the dedication, consecration. May He help us. We will continue with the circular letter. Already here, we are saved in God by His grace. We abide in the Word and prove our faith in the godly work. Amen. The elect are characterized in practice by a walk in accordance with the Word of God and a godly way of life. Amen. A godly life. Once your heart is devoted to God, to the only God of heaven and earth, which came in the flesh in Jesus Christ, all what we read before will take place in you. You walk according to the Word and you have a godly life. I'd like to read the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, that the last chapter of Corinthians. Verse 5, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. When? In the morning, in the evening, during the day, every time when there is a situation or difficulty or trouble in your life, try to examine yourself whether ye be in faith. You have to check it. This we should do it by ourselves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? But I trust that ye shall now that ye shall know that we are no reprobate. We have to check ourselves to see if we are in the right position. We continue here. Only when we look at ourselves in the mirror of the Word with complete sincerity will we recognize our own condition and see how we really are. We all know this, and we all agree with this Word. If we do an inner examination, then we can understand where we're standing at. Before sealing his covenant with people of the New Testament, the Lord had to speak words of exhortation to them. He presented the natural man in his former state. So the Lord describes us. Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a man that enters into him that can defile him. But the things that come out of him are the things that defile the man. It is written in Matthew and also in Mark. Mark 17. But the things that come out of him are the things that defile him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had gone into the house and had withdrew from the crowd, his disciple asked him about this parable. And he said unto them, Are you also without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever from without enters a man cannot defile him, because it does not enter in his heart, but his belly, and goes into the secret place, purifying all flesh? And he said, That which come out of a man is what defiled man. For out of the inward parts of the man's heart come evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, an evil eye, insult, pride, and folly. All these evil things come out from within and defile man. Do you see? In various epistles, Paul refers to everything that defiles man, as for example in Romans chapter 1 verse 29-32, being full of unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, malice. And here we can see these things in people today. Full of envy, murders, deceit, traitors, backbiters, haters of God, outragers, haughty, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to the power, without understandings, not keeping what they promise, without natural affection, without mercy, and who, having known the just sentence of God, today people are not able to keep promise. They promise you something, they promise something to you, but if either they don't do it, or if they do it, they do it at a price against you. And who, having known the just sentence of God, that these who do such things are worthy of death, not only to them, but also find pleasure in those who do them. Galatians 5, from verse 19 onward. Here is a description of the natural man. The apostle describes the two spheres of the human being, that of walking in the spirit and that of walking according to the flesh. The way of being of one sphere resists the way of the other and cannot submit to it. So one sphere cannot submit to the other. The flesh cannot submit to the spirit. It is just impossible. Because one is born in sins, the other one is born in spirit. And we always see this fight within us between these two identity of the persons. This is why scripture speaks of a struggle between these two ways of living and ends by presenting to the believer the old and the new man with all particularities of each. The new and the old with all his particularities. As a believer, you still have these two spheres. These two spheres, we should not mix them, but they must be clearly separated. When we read such things, we should say, Lord, remove the old nature, let it be separate from the new nature, and let the new nature to overcome the old one. Today, in the Church of Jesus Christ, after receiving this message, we must reach this clear separation. For what is wheat is wheat, and what is tares is tares. May God help us to understand it. God has granted us grace. We should have this right position, because it's about our liberation. And we go, as we say in the beginning, we go back to what we say in the beginning. When Jesus met Nathanael, we see the contact which took place between them, or the connection which was between them. Jesus was born as man 100%, but in him, the spiritual part took over and submitted the natural part, or the part of flesh. It's true that we inherit this natural part from, or the old man from Adam and Eve. Or we continue to read the circular letter. Now the work of flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, fornication, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, intrigues, division, sect, envy, murder, drunkenness, orgy, and the like, concerning which I declare to you before, and as I have also said, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. 19:21 is the work of the flesh. The brother is reading once more the from verse 19 to 21. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let us go also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. We can start from 13. But now in Christ Jesus, he who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. He won the separation of flesh, as he could say, Father, let this cup depart from me, but not my will, but your will be done. That was supremacy of the law. Having abolished is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle of war or partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make in him flesh, in himself, one twin one, a new man, so making peace. That's why in our body there is always this fight, as is written in Romans. The good that I like to do, I do not. And evil that I shall not do, I do it. Brother Gianfranco read it last Sunday in Romans chapter 7. This separation is abolished. And now we are able to win the battle over the flesh. And the spiritual now can prevail upon what is flesh. I believe that God can do it because it is our peace. We made both one and have broken the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby. By he, Yevne soul learn Christ. Colossians, I believe. When we spoke about revival, then the devil, after revival, introduced himself. you go to Revelation chapter 2 or 3, in the first church, we can see that he lost his first law because of difficulties. We can go on Matthew 24:13. It is written, "He who shall endure until the end shall be saved." May God strengthen our hearts, and may the name of Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. We read already 1 Peter and also in Galatians. We continue to read here. Immediately afterward, the fruit of the Spirit are described. By the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 22, Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Christ has accomplished all the law. Everyone can see and feel themselves in front of this description as if they were in front of a mirror. No one needs to be particularly spiritual to see which of one two lists applies to him. We are inclined to classify the work of flesh according to our own representation, and we judge them as more or less serious. Always according to our own representation. But God classifies each facet of this diabolical human being in a single common catalog. And likewise for the facet of what is human divine. As God said in Eden, "The day you shall eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye shall die." And we can see in the same way our love loved us. He had compassion and mercy toward us. And he showed us love. And what kind of love are we giving back to him? Should it not be a total devotion? Flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Only a spiritual man or a supernatural can inherit it. Only whom God has chosen to bear his name can get in. Yeah, we ask people, we say, "No, this thing is serious," or "This sin is not serious, this one is like this," but God does not classify it in this way. But he see them all in the same catalog, as we read before. The old man is a rebel, and a new man works or walks by faith and glorifies the Lord. The human part or the old man has always something to say. In John 3, there it is spoken about a new birth. What is born of spirit is spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. That's why we must be born of the spirit. Like a wind, we don't know where it comes from, but we can feel it. It is a different life. God has won the mankind through Jesus Christ. He won us. Because if he would not have won us, we wouldn't be here tonight. But he granted us grace, and he is wonderful. Amen. At the beginning of the list, I named things at the hearing of which many believers shake their heads in horror: fornication, impurity, uncleanness, idolatry, magic. They say, no, we are not there. But all the rest of this blacklist are things exactly as bad in the eyes of God. We can say all of them are in the same basket. All the attributes of the diabolical human being are in the same basket. There's no difference. That's why Brother Frank wrote that all the rest of this blacklist are things exactly as bad in the eyes of God. That is, enmity, quarrel, jealousy, anger, intrigues, division, sect, vice, murder, drunkenness, orgy. But now I have written to you that if anyone call a brother fornicator or miser or idolater or a reviler or drunkard or kidnapper, you are not to have dealing with him, nor are you to eat with such a person. We read the scripture last time. They have used this scripture to accuse falsely Brother Frank. He who is not guilty of the gross things just listed, but who nevertheless stir up enmity, start quarrels and dispute, and show jealousy, this man is just as much dominated by demonic powers. The slanderers is placed by God on the same level as a deceiver, the idolater, the thief, and as well the quarrelsome, the angry, and the vulgar egoist. The quarrelsome. People always try to discuss. Selfishness is always vulgar. It is unbelievable. If we see or we look at the old nature, selfishness is vulgar and it is terrible. It brings us back to Genesis. Because selfishness produces division and sects. Envy then breaks out. We just finished this last part or paragraph. then we stop. Many loses control of themselves, withdraw what order fall into drunkenness and orgy, as Paul writes. No matter how clear the argument may seem to be, whoever is guilty of these things bring destruction to the body of the Lord, and himself will not see the kingdom of God. Amen. We stop here tonight. We can't see how we need to understand the depth of these words, and how we can see the human part and the spiritual part. God shows us our weaknesses, things in which we should depart from, and how many trials had we in the past God has to help us and reveal his word to us, measure after measure, step after step, for us to put everything in right orders. He has put us in this position for us to receive the former and the latter rain, and for the separation to take place. Do you believe that we are waiting for the former and latter rain? Me, I do believe if you fall in my heart. Not only the blood of Christ cleans us, but also our spirit has to be clean. Even if there is still confusion, order should take place in all the places, and we shall say, Lord, you are right. I should put order here, and I want things to become divine reality. Hallelujah. To God all the glory. He granted us grace, truly. And then next week we continue to read. Thanks to the Lord. Were you blessed and were you embedded? May God give us an enlightenment. Who want to thank the Lord? May God grant grace to the brethren who left already because they have to work. We have to pray also for Stefano. And let us remember also that young man who came to visit us a few times. He came to church and his father asked for brother Francesco if we can pray for him because he's having sclerosis. had problem with muscles. He can't speak. May God help him. God regarded persons. Brother Branham used to pray for people who belonged to his church and also for those who came from outside. But the point is that do we really want this person to be touched by the Spirit, not just to be healed, but to come then to the grace of God to be saved? May God grant it for also for all the requests, the other requests here in our midst. I'll pray shortly, then I ask you also to pray. Wonderful Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We don't have words to express how joyous the gratefulness for the grace which we received from you, everything that you revealed us day after day, the hidden secret. And you, Lord, have revealed them to the children. We thank you. Lay your blessing upon us. Help us from above, because you only can heal. We have faith and we know that you are able. We believe that you are able to do whatsoever. That we believe with all our hearts, that you can touch this man and to touch also our sister there in Belgium. All people, the youngster also, your hand is not shortened. You have given us all these things, the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is above all things. You also given us the balm of the Holy Spirit. It is written that love is spread in our heart by your Spirit. Thank you for all what you are doing. I stretch your hand and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Come among us, and only through your manifestation today, the word we recognize and recognize that you are God of heaven and earth, God of the church of Jesus Christ. Come, Lord, grant grace, glorify thy name. To you, the glory, the honor, and the adoration. Yes, Lord, convert the heart. Amen. Touch the youth, elders, all those who have still to enter to be part of the Redeemer of Jesus Christ. Thank you once more for this evening. Thank you for all what you gave us. It is true that it's difficult, but you let us enter in your Spirit. And we have understood what the Spirit has said to the churches. Thank you for the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And still tonight we can turn to you and call upon thy name. As we heard, without exception of people, also for this young man who's suffering. We all bring this prayer request to you, united to ask this to you, and bringing also all the other requests. May you help all people who we know, which found themselves in problems, and give us this, the devotion and the deep respect . It is through the many things of this life we should do them, but be with us and bless us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.